Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Zach Bye is throwing so much shade at Alfred.
I see you got to defend the big man.
Wow. I don't know if that's a big story of the day, but Zach is, listen, I have no doubt Zach is the best current basketball player here at the radio station. I'm not debating it. I don't think anybody could hang with Zach. The only person, he's doing a podcast with Earl. Now, Earl would take you, Zach. Earl would take you, okay? But aside from that, Zach would kill everybody. So it just offends Zach's basketball sensibilities that Alfred, looking as Alfred does, I guess, being 50 years old yesterday, is making claims that he could dunk a basketball. Now, you, Chad, have you just turned 48? Is that correct?
Correct.
You dunked a basketball. Regulation height?
Every year on my birthday, regulation height.
It's in the backyard, but you...
It's front yard.
Sorry. It's in the front yard. Yes. You measure it out a little bit. You know it's 10 feet?
Yes, because it's one of those adjustables.
Mm-hmm.
And I had them install it. I made sure the 10-foot mark was actually at 10 foot.
Wasn't a rim's not just a little bent somehow, kind of leaning that way? No?
Nope, it's legit. It's legit.
I saw the video. It looked very impressive.
There's a couple of them because I've done it every year.
I know. And you put it in slow-mo and you look just glorious.
Thank you.
But Zach just cannot fathom that Alfred yesterday, before he came out for the kicking demonstration, dunked basketball. Now, I know and feel where Zach's coming from, but Chad, I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't see it from my own two eyes. But to see Alfred on his 50th birthday, weighing 300 and whatever he weighs, drill a 51-yard field goal. Dude, I actually looked at it a few different times. Like, how did he do that? It actually, because he did it like a front toe style. He didn't do it soccer style, just front toe style. When you really look at it, there was a significant amount of like coordination, timing, rhythm, and just, you know, getting all of his powerful body behind the kick itself. Like, watch it. It's like poetry in motion. I'm telling you, the biggest problem that most of us had kicking a field goal
was a timing issue.
That's right.
We
got in our head about where we had to go, and we kind of overrushed things. Yeah. And I mean, I still knocked one through. I didn't even take a step because I got my ACL. So I just literally stood there and swung my foot from 5 yards and knocked it over because that's easy. The fact that Stokely missed that kick and that apparently a couple of our morning show hosts are injured after attempting that is mind-boggling. So for Alfred to be able to step back, I am still not over it today. I don't know if I'll ever get over it. And knock it in from 51 yards, Chad. It was incredible. It was incredible.
Impressive feat, no doubt. I cannot kick a 50-yard field goal. But Morton Anderson and Adam Vinatieri, they can't dunk a basketball. They sure kick the heck out of field goals. To equate the two, I think is...
I'm not trying to equate. I'm just saying what a wild set of skills to be able to do on your 50th birthday.
It's fantastic. No doubt about it.
And Zach just can't believe it. If I didn't see Al kick that 50-yard field goal, I may doubt that he dunked the basketball. But after watching him do it, Chad, I just have to throw my hands in the air and just say, okay, I believe you. Because I didn't believe you could do this and you just did this. And so if you make that claim, I believe you. Zach's beside himself. He's beside himself. It was one of the more impressive things I've ever seen.
That's awesome.
It's on the website. It's on Twitter. It's all over the place.
So check this out.
You can see it pretty easily.
I will.
The furthest I ever kicked a field goal was 35 yards. I was in the Colorado Crush tryouts years ago. I was working at KVPI, and we thought it was a goof. We're having tryouts. So I was like, I'll try out to be the kicker. See how I do.
You and Marky Mark trying out for the Eagles?
Yeah, Invincible. So I knocked 2 out of 3 from 35, but I mean, like, barely. And I played soccer my whole life, and back in the day, this is like 15 years ago, I was in pretty good shape, and yada, 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 that whole thing. The concept of stepping back another 15 yards is absurd.
It's impressive. There's no doubt about it. It is impressive.
So maybe I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
How you doing?
I'm good, man.
Good to see you, pal.
It's been a long... You know what? It's been so long since I've been in studio that they turned the office back there into a lounge.
Well, that just recently happened.
That's how long it's been, though. I had no idea.
No, but that just, like, happened a couple weeks ago.
Well, that's how long I've been not on air.
All right. Well, what do you think?
I thought that was cool. I was like, there's a couch.
The concept is solid. Guess who has spent the most time napping on that couch?
There's a couple prospects here.
Take a wild guess.
I'll go Al.
Yeah, of course. And then I found out he was also the person napping the most on the other couch down at KYGO. So Alfred has well established his couch nappiness.
Uh-huh.
He's established his dominance over the couches here at work in terms of territory.
That dude is a funny sleeper and one of the worst travel companions of all time.
It's something.
Sharing a hotel room with him?
I know. And I've done it multiple times, and I'm sure I'm no treat either. But
no, you aren't.
Well, okay, thanks. I'm better now.
I won't give too many details.
No, I'm better now.
But whenever your person you're sharing the room with you, right before they turn off the light, turns and starts whispering to you in a soft conversation as you did to me. Hey, man, I just want to let you know. It's never good news. It's never anything that you want to hear before you turn off the lights and go to sleep.
Dude, in all seriousness, to have a serious conversation, especially for guys, it's because I have sleep apnea, and I was diagnosed with it. I've probably had it since my early 20s, because I've had, you know, night terrors and all those things since my early 20s. So it's not a matter of how much I weigh or my age or anything. I've just been like this. I've just had it. I was shocked to see how many guys actually do have that issue.
Tons of guys have sleep apnea issues.
Yes.
No doubt about that.
And now I've got the machine, and you know, I look like an air traffic controller or like a fighter pilot at night, but I sleep like a baby. You would be shocked.
I didn't know you very well. So for that conversation, at that particular point in our relationship, hey, man, I don't want to scare you.
But
sometimes I have night terrors. Have you heard of that? I'm thinking, what's going on? What are you having me rolling with? What kind of night terrors are they? Are they physical? Are you just going to scream? Are you going to punch me?
I'm definitely not going to punch you. That would be a poorly placed punch, but the screaming out of control is likely to happen.
It didn't happen, though.
No.
You kept it together. Thank you.
I'm thank you. Good. I'm glad. Not everybody's been so lucky.
Okay.
Al's not that bad. It's just he's just a quirky dude.
No, he's going to go to bed late.
We're respectful of each other.
He's going to want to talk to you at 4 a.m.
But I mean, let's face it.
He's going to wake up at 6 and start talking to Siri about where's the nearest barbershop.
Right. As grown men, do we really want to share the room with anybody?
No.
I mean, we can barely tolerate our wives.
True.
You know, let's keep it real. Once everything's said and done at the end of the night, wouldn't it be best just to be totally on your own? I mean, let's think about that for a second, right? I mean, is there any inherent advantage, Chad, to having a human being next to you once it's just time to go nighty-night?
No. Mm-mm. Unless they're like a security guard or something.
I don't think I'd want to sleep next to a security guard. If I needed to sleep next to a security guard, I think there's bigger issues in my life. Maybe that's not a problem. Anyways, your take on the Broncos. Let's catch up on things. what are you thinking these days?
When people say over and over again, we're just waiting for them to come together. That's a sign that clearly you aren't together. And name a team where you said that actually came together. And I know this week has been an odd spin on things. Mm-hmm. Listening to you and Al, a little bit more positive outlook and a little bit of a shift of the narrative a bit this week.
Well,
the takeaway from playing close, as if somehow that's a moral victory, and that really counts in anything.
Right.
Most games in the NFL are close.
You know what I think it's based on is an acceptance of the situation that exists. So what's the situation? Will the team pass ownership? Yeah, I mean, at some point. But it's really hard to establish when, although there were a lot of juicy details about why certain people weren't going to get the team or the allegations based on that. So while that came up, the question that I asked about that particular situation was, okay, what's next? And nobody can answer that question. Nobody can still answer that question. So even though you file a lawsuit and you air your dirty laundry, that's been done. Well, what's next? Okay, we find a link between Dan Riley, the attorney for the trust, and Mary Kelly, who's on the trust. Well, that seems like a crazy conflict of interest, and there seems to be a lot of conflict of interest. And then so what? Right?
Right.
Like, so what? Now, the reason why this matters is obviously if you get a new owner, you could have huge personnel changes. You could have a new GM. You'd have a new president of business. You'd have, you know, a billionaire comes in here. He's going to, you know, he just bought the car. If he wants to paint it purple, he's going to paint it purple. Right?
Right.
But that's not likely to happen. Not right away. So then you get to, well, what if it goes down to one of, like, Brittany Bowen, specifically? Well, Brittany says she wants the team, but...
She's 28.
Joe just signed a new, like, five-year contract. John's got 4 years left in his deal. She's 28. Gosh, it seems like the timing would work out that perhaps she inherits the team at the end of their deals. Well, Chad, that's in 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this in terms of, like, when things are going to change.
Isn't there an age limit or a minimum age to be the controlling owner?
40 seems to be
right,
bandied about.
Four years, she'd be 32.
Right.
That's not
right.
Close.
That's a problem. And 40 seems to be the age limit where you can inherit the splitting up of the team. It seems to be when you can cash out as a Bowlen child of 40. I'm not exactly sure if that holds true to having controlling interest, although that would be odd to have controlling interest of the team, but not being able to financially benefit from having the team. It's a strange situation. So don't hold me up on the specifics of that because I'm really not quite sure. What I've done, though, is I've accepted some things. You know, I was very angry and I was very kind of motivated and I was like screaming from the highest hilltop, you know.
You were calling me at like 11:35 on a Sunday night.
Yeah. Yeah. And as well, I knew you were on TV. You don't make it sound like it was some sort of emergency. I was driving around. I just saw you on TV. I'm driving to the airport to pick up my kid. You just made me sound like a lunatic. I figured you were in the car.
You don't need my help with that.
Call me at 11:40. What is your crazy?
And I answered.
Yeah.
Hey, man, what's up?
Then I called Cliff, and he answered, too.
He just got off TV with me.
I know. I was going to call Brody, but I don't think we're quite there yet. So under all that, I've realized, well, and Al, I think, put it great. He said, they're not going to fire themselves. And, you know, I laughed at that because it was a funny way to put it, but he's kind of right.
No one does.
They're not going to fire themselves. Why would they? And Joe Ellis isn't going to fire John Elway. I mean, give me a break. Well, what fantasy wacky world is that? And John Elway, as long as he has that job, he's going to be John Elway, meaning he's going to want to be the same guy. He's not just the president of football. He's also the general manager. He let Brian Zanders go, and he's got Matt Russell as his right-hand man. But Matt doesn't have, like, the GM title, nor will he. If John wanted to promote Matt to GM, he easily could have done that in the past couple of years. But he hasn't, and I'm sure there's a specific reason, mainly that John wants control. So we've got to operate, in my opinion, under that situation for the next couple of years. If you want to have deeper, bigger conversations about the next 20 years with the Broncos, that's kind of a different thing. If we're just talking about the next couple of years, which fans really care about the next game, Chad, you know, that season. They don't want to just look forward. If you think about 4 years, that's nothing. In the context of a sports organization, 4 years, Chad, is a blink of an eye. But 4 years for a fan? Oh, my God, man.
It's eternity. It's painful.
It's forever.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to sit through 4 years of not making the playoffs. This is going to be year three of the Broncos not making the playoffs. So 4 years feels like a lot of time. So the way I'm operating now is to say, well, Joe's not going to fire John. John, it is Elway. It's all Elway.
So is this...
So how does he operate?
Resignation or approval from you? Your shift in tone.
I'd say resignation's partly resignation, more acceptance of the situation that it is. Knowing that if you really wanted to have this conversation with me about the big topic, well, then I've already said how I felt about that. I've been pretty clear about it. The Broncos are ticked off at me beyond belief because I've been so clear about my opinion on that. But that's just not going anywhere anytime soon. Nor is there anything we can really do about, and nor is there anything fun to really talk about with it. Is it really fun? I mean, I find it intriguing, but is it really fun to talk about lawyers and lawsuits and owners and, you know, that's Game of Thrones stuff.
That's off-season stuff. We're in season.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get to where you say, oh, you sound more optimistic about things. Maybe I'm more realistic about things. And to think that John's just going to fire VJ, it literally makes no sense. For what purpose? And that's inherently where the fans are the first to always want to fire a coach. Always. And not only do they always want to fire a coach.
I completely disagree. I think general managers and ownership, they're the first ones.
That fans want replaced?
No. They're the ones who see the head coach and and the first ones to have that thought.
Yeah, but the fans vocally blame the coach first. They always have throughout time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the staff or the general manager, they may think the coach is, you know, why did we hire this idiot? But, you know, they have a more complicated set of circumstances. Fans are just, you know, fire him. He should be gone. Blah. Right. I mean, you know. So the fans, and if it does happen, the fans are the first one to say, I told you so. I told you should fire that bum and blah, 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 blah. And they're entitled to do that as fans. But there's some logical reasons why firing VJ makes absolutely positively no sense. One, you've got to accept a few things. And this is where I'm critical of John because I don't know if he does accept these things. Like, I don't think John has accepted it's time to totally rebuild. I don't think he's close, but I don't think he's quite there.
It's such a bitter pill to swallow because it reflects back on you.
Well, it means the free agent quarterback you got isn't good enough. Well, the drafted quarterbacks aren't good enough.
None of the quarterbacks you drafted are on the team.
I know.
So it's
tough.
It's more than tough. It's a giant, bitter, self-reflective pill to swallow.
Yeah, but is VJ expected to win with a team that doesn't have a high-quality quarterback?
From the fans' perspective, he certainly is.
So, well,
I mean, if you go around town and you took a poll, who had to go, VJ or Elway?
Oh, it'd be VJ by a mile.
Right.
Nobody really wants to see John gone. Including me.
I would disagree with that. There are folks who are certainly in that camp.
If you had to line up 100 people, 100 Broncos fans, right now, I'd say about 80 of them would say VJ's got to go.
Oh, for sure.
I'd say maybe 45 or so would say Elway's got to go.
Yeah.
So not a majority, but it's gaining momentum.
Almost, it's almost half.
It's almost half. I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many. Look at Cecil. Cecil is like... Cecil's like a dog with a bone defending Elway. I mean, I was like, how many posters did Cecil have of Elway up in his room, I guess? I don't know what else to say about that.
You can't, as a football team, try to pick up from last year to this year. Each year is unique into itself. So to go the Cecil route and tie John Elway's playing days to him as a GM.
I love Cecil, but I'm like,
wow, that's a step way, way too far, man. The two don't have much to do with each other. They're very separate skill sets.
I think that's a tricky deal for Cecil because he did grow up here in Colorado and he did love John Elway as a player and blah, 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 blah.
That's okay. You can still love John Elway as a player. John Elway was an incredible. I played against John Elway. I went to Pro Bowls with John Elway.
Right.
He's an incredible player. He's one of the best to ever lace up the cleats.
But then
there's no doubt about that.
Then Al hits me with the argument that kills me is he won Super Bowls. Oh, okay. All right, pass. Then for the rest of it, when does that expire?
Yeah, ask Trent Dilfer about that.
Yeah, ask Mike Shanahan about it. I mean, what's the statute of limitations on I won a Super Bowl?
Mike Holmgren.
Sure. At some point, right?
Yeah.
So the easier thing is to just fire Vijay. But you fire Vijay, now what? And then why would you do that, believe it or not, when the team is playing better?
Really?
Yeah, than last year.
But last year's last year. It's got nothing to do with this year.
But you're seeing these levels of improvement. Would firing Vijay make them even play better to win games?
Isn't the roster better than last year?
I don't know. Maybe.
Is the quarterback better than last year's quarterback?
Slightly.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. Brock Osweiler's starting in the NFL right now and winning games. Brock Osweiler, the thing is, if he hasn't won as many, it's close to as many games as Case Keenum has won this year.
True.
He was on the roster last year. He was part of your initial plan.
My plan?
The Broncos' plan.
Okay.
And that's the biggest issue I've always had. What's your plan? Stick to it. Tim Tebow had some great comments about the situation in Maryland. He goes, listen, you're firing the guy the next day. The NFL with Ray Rice, you made a decision, but the people put pressure on you and you change your decision.
Timmy was fired up when he gave that little speech there. That was impressive.
He was right.
Yeah.
I mean, he was clear that he wasn't agreeing necessarily with the decision. Mm-hmm. But what he was sick of, rightfully so, is second-guessing your decision. Like, what are you doing? So to me, I agree with that. And I would say to John, you hired Vance. You're connected to him. If you fire him, it's as much, if not more, of an indictment on you than his poor performance. So you made a commitment to this. So let's stick it out.
Okay. Just to be clear, I am not advocating for Vance to be fired. Vance is a friend of mine. Obviously, we are Colorado Buffaloes. It's going to be impossible to break that bond. But if things aren't working well, why are you sticking it out?
Because the possible replacements are just more guys like Vance. Now, if John Elway wanted to shock me, stun me, okay? And if John Harbaugh got fired from Baltimore and John Elway said, you know what? I'm going to hire John Harbaugh and I'm going to step back. And John Harbaugh is going to run this organization and I'm just going to remain president of football. If John Elway were to do that, first of all, I'd be surprised. But second of all, yeah, okay, fire Vance. I got it. But if you're just telling me I'm going to hire another young, first-time head coach that has to go through all of these growing pains all over again with the hope that he's Sean McVay. Pass. I need to know what the plan is if we're moving on from Vance Joseph. That makes sense. So if the plan is, and I don't know how you get a John Harbaugh, a Jim Harbaugh, a David Shaw, whoever. I don't know how you get one of these experienced guys and you don't give him control of the franchise. Unless you go to one of the experienced guys that's just like been out of it. You know, the Mike Shanahans of the world.
Arians.
Yeah, the Bruce Arians. Brian Billicks of the world. You know, the
Brian
guys.
Billick, come on. No
right,
way.
Right.
No way.
I agree. You know, because these guys have just been out of it too long. And you know, the John Foxes of the world, they don't care about the management side of things. They're just happy to be coaching. I mean, seriously, why not hire John Fox again? So if you're going to make a radical change, and you know what? I am advocating ultimately for radical change, meaning Elway needs to make changes everywhere, personnel department, coaches, everything. If he's willing to do that, tough deal. Move it on, say, for Matt Russell. Maybe help Matt get another job and just bring in a fresh set of eyes. Move it on from Gary Kubiak. A tough deal to do. But do you really think John Elway's going to move on from Matt Russell and Gary Kubiak?
This is when the whole Gary Kubiak thing about him being hired became an issue for me. It's because football is such a cutthroat business. And once you enter into these personal relationships and tie them together with the business, it becomes incredibly tricky and it clouds your decision-making skills. If it's time to move on and you look around your group of friends who all have to move on, you can't be effective in your job if that is the case. So then if that is the case, and that appears to be part of the case here, then you need to move up to become executive VP of football operations and go with a GM and go with a head coach because your personal relationships have clouded your ability to do your job at the level you need to do it.
So I guess to be clear, I think that is actually the best move to go with, without replacing John Elway. Take a step back, make some changes in the personnel department, and do go after a guy like John Harbaugh and give him more responsibility in personnel. Give him the ability to pick his own quarterback and develop who he really wants, that sort of thing. And, you know, it's not like, you know, Gary Kubiak hasn't worked with John Harbaugh. They certainly did work together. So, you know, okay, fine. I mean, you got me. You got me on that, but you don't need to fire Vance now. I mean, John Harbaugh's still the coach of the Baltimore Ravens last time I checked. So until that changes, you know, onwards.
I still think it could happen, an in-season firing.
Not now.
I completely...
Not now. Why? For what purpose?
There's a couple purposes, and I'm sure we can get to that.
We'll get to it. All right, Big 3 is coming up next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three.
Chad Brown is here. Chad.
Yeah, I'm on.
The Broncos' decision, just to catch up with you, to keep Vance. Good idea, bad idea?
I think it's a good idea at this point. I hear what you're saying about what is the next step? What is the next move? If things continue to go as they have gone, particularly reflecting the record, not necessarily the sense that there has been improvement, I could see a move being made later in the season once things are kind of a little bit more final and you know from a coaching, from a front office perspective, what coaches are going to be out there. You can start reaching out and making those moves. Then there would be a more likely scenario. At this point, I think it's the best idea for Vance to still be here.
Okay, bong goes.
Three.
Chris Harris Jr. says it's just like last year. He's talking about the ability of teams to eliminate him due to the schemes that they run. When I can't change the game and can't affect the game, that really frustrates me. I pride myself in being able to make game-changing plays and being able to change the game. It's just like last year. I'm kind of just out there. Should Joe Woods, should the Broncos defensive staff use Chris Harris in more creative ways to take advantage of his playmaking ability?
I don't know how. I mean, if you got some suggestions, but the best thing to help Chris Harris is another cornerback who's really good, because then you're limited to how much time you can stay away, and there's a significant imbalance right now, so it's easy to stay away from Chris Harris. So nobody likes Chris Harris more than Chris Harris, but in this particular case, I think Chris is actually right. You know, I had a debate with somebody about who is worth more, Emmanuel Sanders or Chris Harris, and they were saying Chris Harris, and my argument was, well, not at this time of the season. Because it's too easy just to stay away from one cornerback, whereas with Emmanuel Sanders, he's a dynamic weapon on offense. You just got to put him into action and throw him the ball. You can easily stay away and ignore Chris Harris if you choose to as an offense, whereas, you know, a receiver could be more dynamic quicker. Now, over a period of time, maybe a better cornerback is more effective for you. I don't know. I mean, that's a fair argument, but we're just talking about the last 8 weeks of the season.
If you're switching up your play calls and your positioning, you've got the opportunity to play guys inside and outside, from the slot corner to the outside corner, and do things like that, left side, right side, change up the matchups, then you can put him in positions where he can be a little bit more of a playmaker, as opposed to letting the offense know down in, down out, where he's going to be.
Okay, if there's a way to do it, then I'm all for it, because right now, nothing's going on. Bongos.
Three!
Mike Leach. He is a quirky dude, but the dude can coach football. I gotta give him that.
He's the king of the press conference.
He is something else. And CU's playing Washington State. Washington State's a top 10 team, kind of out of nowhere, right?
No, it's out of nowhere. They've been building.
Okay. And they got a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback that maybe the Broncos should be looking at.
Nice mustache in that kid.
But this is what got my attention. Mike Leach, who kind of reminds me of Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, by the way. But here is Mike Leach. He loves Ralphie. He loves Ralphie. He loves live mascots.
Yeah, I grew up in the West. What can you say? I mean, Buffalo, that's one that's hard to argue with unless you have a live grizzly bear out there or something.
What do you think of? I mean, he goes on for like 3.5 minutes. I can't play the whole thing. Maybe we'll play more excerpts as it goes. What do you think of Mike Leach and his love of Ralphie the Buffalo?
Ralphie's the greatest mascot in all of college football. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not saying that just because I went there. To run out behind a giant buffalo is about as
cool. It's unbelievable.
It's about as cool of a thing as you could possibly imagine. And it does intimidate other teams. They keep their guys in the locker room.
Were you surprised how big Ralphie actually was the first time you stood next to Ralphie?
No, because I'm an animal guy. So I've been going to zoos and sizing up animals my entire life.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I totally love the Ralphie thing. I dig Mike Leach's appreciation for it. And Mike Leach is one of the most entertaining coaches in all of college football. I've had a chance to go to the Pac-12 media dinner the last couple years.
Is he the guy to talk to?
Oh, if you're at his table, it's fantastic. As the dinner's winding down, about 2 hours in, and Mike's got a few cocktails in him, the story starts flowing, and they don't stop. And literally, you have to catch an Uber home from the restaurant because the bus has left, but you're so enthralled
with Mike Leach.
With Mike Leach and his amazing stories, his amazing storytelling ability. I just sat there and listened for a half hour. Him telling stories about all the other Pac-12 coaches and all these other crazy things that he's done. He's a treasure for college football.
Bongos, wow. Boom, boom, boom.
Three!
Kyrie Irving fined $25,000 by the NBA for throwing a ball into the lower bowl inside Pepsi Center.
Yeah.
He was upset about the last minute three-point attempt by Murray.
Yeah, well, Murray had 48. He wanted to get 50. I can't blame Murray on that. Stop him. Murray wanted to grow up, Kyrie.
So
Uncle Drew.
That's my question. Is it sour grapes?
Oh,
Old man, get off my lawn?
Dude, what? You don't want a youngster to try to go for 50? I mean, I can't blame any player who's at 48 points to try to go to 50 in an NBA game.
Is there a
who's
line?
No.
There's no line.
No.
I can't remember who the NBA player
50?
Was. I was
Chad, if it was like 70 or 80, that's kind of over the top. But 50? No. 50's like a landmark sort of accomplishment.
There was an NBA player, and I can't remember who it was. I wish Big Sexy was here because I'm sure he would remember, who purposely missed two shots at the end of the game so he could get
more rebounds.
A triple-double.
Something like that, yes. Yeah.
Is that crossing
the
line?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Okay.
That's silly.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, so there is a line.
Yeah, I think I remember it. Kyle may remember too. I don't know. But there was a dude who like missed a layup on purpose so he could get like his own rebound or something stupid like that.
Is Latrell Sprewell?
Was it Latrell Sprewell?
We're gonna research that for
you. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yes, that's stupid.
Okay, good.
Okay, because it's a triple-double. I mean, big deal. I mean, the guys go for triple-doubles every night in the NBA.
But
50 points?
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
Ricky Davis.
What'd he do? What'd Ricky Davis do?
He bounced it off the backboard to try to get himself a rebound so he could get a triple-double.
All right,
fine. Bongo. Three!
I got a great story for you about a guy that I've known for many years. Used to work at the Fan, and now he's going to jail.
Ah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Stick around. Be right back.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Chad Brown in for Alfred, as Alfred is off celebrating his birthday, so he's off for the rest of the week. He was here for his birthday, and the rest of the week, it's a good week to be off. It's his birthday, it's a bye week, and it's always great to have Chad here. But we only have you for today, is that right?
Yeah, I've got to get to the Bay Area. I've got to my meeting with David Shaw, one of your favorite guys.
Oh, my God. He's my guy.
Yeah.
Tell him he's his biggest fan is on talk radio here in Denver.
I certainly will let him know.
Nice.
I'm sure he'll be like, oh, yeah, D-Mac, I know that guy.
Will you poke around a little bit in terms of, now, it's not just the Broncos. David Shaw's name comes up whenever there's NFL openings. I know you're just doing the game, but will you have a chance just to sort of test the waters a little bit about what it would actually take for him to be in charge of an NFL team?
I think it's a fair question because not only does his name come up in the rumor mill, but he does the coverage of the combine. So he purposely puts himself in that situation. So it's not like a Broncos insider question. It's a legitimate question for me to talk about during the broadcast.
Yeah, there you go. Here's what I'd be curious if David Shaw was sitting across from me, as you'll have the chance, which is are you having this meeting at Stanford?
Yeah, so I fly out Thursday night. We have a meeting with the coaches at noon.
Where specifically?
On campus in David Shaw's office. I guess that's where all the meetings happen.
Is it right there? Is his office part of the stadium right there?
I believe so.
Dude, that athletic area, oh my God. If you've never seen the athletic area of Stanford.
It's pretty awesome.
If you ever have any reason to be out in Palo Alto, just give yourself, take a little field trip. The football stadium's right next to the baseball stadium, which is Sunken Diamond. It's a very unique stadium. It actually sinks down, and then the pool is right there, which is unreal. Mm-hmm. The tennis center is right there. You're amongst all the trees. You get the nickname or the, you know, the concept of the mascot right away.
It's not the Cardinals, the bird. It's the cardinal, the tree.
So,
singular.
But there must be something in terms of David Shaw, in terms of control of his future if he were ever to make the move. And I'd be curious, what would, you know, Coach Shaw, I mean, what would it look like? I know that you're not anxious to leave and everything's set up, but if you were to move on anywhere, I mean, what would exactly that look like in terms of you controlling any program? You think he'd answer a question like that, or is that too...
I think he would say, I'm looking forward to playing Oregon State on Saturday.
No, he's not. They're going to win by like 70. I mean, it's going to be ridiculous, but...
Oregon State's getting better each week.
They have a stunt for... They are a terrible defense, but their offense is shockingly resilient.
And guess who their coordinator is?
I don't know.
Brian Lindgren, who used to be co-coordinator up at CU.
I did not know that.
Yes. So he's the offensive coordinator. They average almost 29 points a game, which puts them towards the upper part of the Pac-12 as far as offensive points scored. The issue, as you just pointed out.
Yeah, the defense is terrible.
The defense is 12th in almost every category in the Pac-12, and they give up 44 points.
We were at a family weekend, parents weekend at ASU, and they were playing Oregon State. And, oh my God, I thought ASU was going to score 70 points. And they came close at the end. They scored 50-something points. But they had a big lead, and I was like, ah, well, they're just going to, you know, here we go, right? Like, it's... And you know what? Oregon State kind of like the CU game, kind of just like chipping away. Yep. And it's 14 points. I think it's going to go 21. No, it's back down to 7. Now, oh, it's okay. It's 14 again. It's going to, okay. Yeah, well, back down to 7 again. And then eventually it was like 20 or something at some point. And that's exactly what I thought was going to happen when CU played Oregon State. Well, first of all, they're up by 28.
Right, at half.
Right. I mean, I was like, 28 is going to be 35. You know, maybe Oregon State gets a couple touchdowns, something like that. I mean, it's one of the most mind-blowing losses of all time in CU football history.
It's got to be one of the worst. I think it's the worst loss in modern CU football history.
All right, so you're in Stanford over the weekend then. So
yes.
You're going up there.
Mm-hmm.
And the game's at Stanford? Right, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, good. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, man.
Craig Carton. Do you know Craig?
Yes.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you know Craig?
Radio Row stuff.
Okay. Craig and I have known each other since we were 18 years old. Kind of like you and a lot of your football guys that you just know forever, and then you kind of grow up, you play in the NFL, you know, whatever. Like, Craig was just one of those guys. He was at Syracuse. We worked at the same radio station, Z89. He is a talented communicator and radio guy. Always has been. Sports talk radio, Chad, in the 80s wasn't what it is now. You know, sports talk was relegated to like Sunday nights, post games, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
It just wasn't what it was. But the Fan in New York City was starting something, and everybody was kind of catching on to radio stations going full-time sports talk, and it was sort of becoming a thing. Craig had talent for it in college. Craig could do an hour-long sports talk show in college that sounded like you would hear on a professional station because he was so incredibly relaxed, funny, and insightful with opinions how he did things. It was amazing. But Craig was always... There was always something going on with that dude.
Mm-hmm.
There was always just... He always had his finger in another pot. You know, there was always something else going on.
Hustling?
There was just something else.
Like hustling, like...
You never knew. But even in college, there was always like... He was doing the radio thing and doing great, but there was always like just... There was something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that something else wasn't all that good. In fact, in college, we had the Daily Orange at Syracuse, the school newspaper. And I was doing, it was a morning show. It wasn't a sports show. It's just like, you know, a traditional sort of, you know, music morning show sort of thing. with college students doing it. So I was hosting one morning, and I pick up the newspaper. People read the newspaper back then. And the student newspaper had these two kids from a fraternity in blackface. And they were Len Bias and, Hank Gilbert, the other athlete.
Hank Gathers.
Hank Gathers and Len Bias. That was their costume.
Two basketball players who died, one of them a cocaine overdose, right. One on the court.
Right. So these are two obvious white kids who are in blackface as these athletes who have died of heart failure. Okay? This is on the front page of the DO, the Daily Orange. So I go on there and I'm like, well, you know, this is terrible. You know, this is ridiculous. The fraternity should be punished by the university. This is just absurd. This is, you know, we shouldn't have this here. So I get called in by the general manager. This is in college now. You got to understand it. But I'm a senior, right? So the level of things I care about is minimal at this point. And he says, hey, you were out of line. This isn't for you to just voice your opinion like that on, and the fraternity's really upset and they want an apology. Well, it turns out Craig was one of those guys in blackface. And I don't think Craig meant significantly any harm, but he didn't think it all the way through.
Clearly.
That decision-making process has apparently stayed with him his entire life. And I actually did a show with Craig here in Denver at KBPI for 6 months. And at first, when I was told that, you know, it'd be me and Craig working together, I was like, wow, I mean, I can't believe it. You know, we used to be in college together, that whole thing. But I had some trepidations about it. But I ended up really liking him. Like, we did the show. I thought it was really good. But he was wanting, he had an idea of doing this thing called calling all stars. Like, you'd pay for a service, this internet boom and .com boom, which burst, you know, the pets.com, it just burst. That like athletes would call you on your birthday to wish you like happy birthday, and you'd pay a service to say, hey, this is
there,
you know.
Actually was a service like that.
Well, this is what Craig was working on. So
I'm not sure if it was his, but I've definitely filmed some birthday messages for
okay.
people.
Okay. Well, maybe
hey,
it was.
Hey, Brian, heard you're a big Steeler fan. Chad Brown wishing you a happy birthday.
You know
birthday
what?
Here.
I bet you anything that was Craig's business then.
Okay.
I bet you anything it was. And you make a lot of promises in that business, and I don't know how it went for you in terms of you getting paid, but, you know, it just he wasn't happy enough doing the radio thing, and he was going to give up all the radio thing to do this .com thing, and, like, man, we had just started the show together. We were only on the air for, like, 6 months. It was me, Craig, and Mark Stout, and we were starting to get a little momentum going, and things were kind of happening. And then he just said, I'm leaving. And his wife, Kim, didn't like Denver, and just he went back east, okay? So my relationship with him was good. I was sad to see him go. We were doing some fun stuff. I liked hanging out with the guy. I thought he was funny. Stout couldn't stand him. He just wasn't Stout's cup of tea. And, you know, I was friends with Mark, so it was a little awkward. But I really like Craig. So years go on, and I would get a call from Craig every now and then. Hey, what's going on? What about working with me down in Dallas? And I'm like, it's not really my thing right now. And then Craig started becoming a star. So the phone call stopped. He didn't need me anymore, that's for sure. And he became a star. But don't forget, these little things have always been in his past. Today, Craig was convicted by a jury of basically developing a Ponzi scheme where he was promising big-time ticket brokers, give me all your tickets, I'll sell them on the resale market. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars. And then he was just using that money instead of doing the tickets. He was paying off gambling debts. How about that?
How about that?
He's the same age as me. He's somebody I do consider a friend. But I'm realistic about his past. He has made a lot of enemies because he's been very critical about people, you know, on the radio. He's got this legendary battle with Mike Francesa, for example.
I'm familiar with that.
But he's also been incredibly successful. His morning show with Boomer Esiason came on after they got rid of Don Imus. And Carton and Boomer were a huge success. Ratings-wise, money-wise. Craig is great at what he does, which is a broadcaster. The problem with Craig is he just couldn't help himself when it came to other stuff. And sadly, he's obviously a gambling degenerate, sadly, because he would put the lives of his family, his four kids, at risk for those type of bad habits. And he lied to people. They admitted he was a liar on the stand. His own defense attorney admitted he lied. And then he said, well, money is like, you know, you can do anything with money. If you say I'm investing the money, I can do anything with it. But you can't. He was convicted. There's a good chance, Chad, he could get max of 45 years in prison.
I saw that.
Most likely, he's probably going to get double digits in prison. And this is a guy who's a saint. And I at this point, I understand why all this happened to him, but I still feel sad for him.
It's understandable.
So,
you don't want bad things for people, even when they do. Even when they do bad things, you don't want everyone.
But when it all happened and all went down, and somebody said, "Were you surprised?"
No way.
I said no. Football at four is next.